Malachi chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. How God deals with his own. Here in the last book of the Old Testament, we find a prophetic description of the relationship that exists between God and his people. He says, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord their offerings in righteousness. There's a similar verse in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. It said, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, shall be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So our message this morning is life's refining fires, or how God deals with his own. Now there are some pictures of how God deals with his own in the Bible. One, there is a picture of a father and his child. How blessed we are to be a child of the King. And to be in that relationship where we have God the Father that provides for us and cares for us. And then he talks about the Father as being the shepherd of the sheep. Now we understand that the shepherd is one that is loving, and he leaves the fold, the 90 and 9 that are safe in the fold. He goes out on the hillside of sin to find that one lost sheep. He is a seeking father. Then he is described as a vine dresser and the vine. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ works in order to make us fruitful. We know that he is the vine dresser and we have been grafted in to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. We also know that he is depicted as the potter and the clay. That is, our life is on the wheel and he's trying to mold us and make us into the vessel of honor that he wants us to be. And then he talks about the bridegroom and the bride. One of these days, the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, is going to split the eastern sky and he is going to come back for his bride. What a glorious day that will be. These are some different pictures that emphasize the different relationships between God and man are his own. But I wonder this morning just how much thought we have given to this prophetic picture in Malachi, which describes the relationship of God with his people with these words. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Now here we have a picture of how God deals with his own. He is a refiner of the silver. Now we know that in order to do that, there is the fire that is hot, the crucible that is over the fire, and the metal placed in the crucible, and it melts. And they skim out the impurities. Now, this is done numbers of times until the metal is totally pure. The Bible said he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He is one that is purifying the silver in our lives or getting rid of that dross. And there are three things here that we have to reckon with as we consider how God deals with his own. One, there's the motivation in the refiner's heart. Now, as the refiner is concerned about what is happening to the metal, so God is concerned about what is happening to you and to me. God cares. It is quite obvious that the purity of the silver or the gold is the object of God, to get rid of all the impurities that would soil and spoil the work of the silversmith. I think what he's trying to tell us here, loud and clear, and I hope that we all understand it, is that the purity of the silver, or the purity of our lives, that our lives be holy, this is really the purpose of God. And this is what he's trying to tell us in this illustration that I've shared with you this morning. That is, that they should set apart their lives both outwardly and inwardly, both in conduct and in character, from all that is inconsistent with the will and the purpose of Almighty God for our lives. Brethren, we live in a world today that is very promiscuous. A world that has turned their attention from the things of God to the things of this world. We need a revival of turning back to God. As he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or conduct, lifestyle, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, there was a young boy that went to church Sunday morning, and his mother stayed home, and when he came back home, Mama asked him, son, what did the preacher preach about? Well, he preached about sin. The mother said, well, what did he say about it? He said, well, the best I could tell, God was against it. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God hates sin. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, you remember what Paul wrote to the church. He speaks of the love of Christ for the church and the fact that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, in order that we might be holy and righteous in his sight. Now, I don't know about you, but he also said that, husbands, you are to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I really believe that as a child of God, we are to love everybody, but especially you ought to love that mate. Amen. That has been so good to you. Amen. We live in a time when there's not a whole lot of love for one another. I love to see a woman when she looks at her husband and there's a sparkle in her eye. And I love to see that man when he looks at his wife and there is that joy that you can see, that pride in his eye. Well, Christ loves the church. And he gave himself for it that he might present it unto himself, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, I'm here to tell you, God's still working on me. And sometimes I get a little frustrated, you know, when he gives me a little bit of a whack, you know. I remember the kids growing up, every now and then I'd have to give them a little pop, you know. Every now and then I'd give them a good pop. But you know, you do it because you love them. God deals with us out of love. I wonder what God has to say about this promiscuous society in which we live that permits almost everything. And a lot of times folks are looking for churches that will allow them to do what they want to do and not feel guilty about it. The purpose of the refiner is the purity of the silver. God's not going to take anybody into heaven backwards. We're going to go his way or we won't go at all. Now the process which the refiner, his aim is achieved. It is through a refining by fire. The metal is placed in the crucible above the flame and all the impurities are revealed and then removed. The Bible said, now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, fire speaks of suffering. It speaks of trials. It speaks of affliction. It's not always physical. Sometimes it is mental, sometimes emotional, sometimes social. But these trials come. Sometimes it is designed and permitted by the love of God. Sometimes it is propagated by the hands of men. Sometimes by our own waywardness that we have trials and difficulties. But in all of these trials, in all of these difficulties, God has a design. He wants us to come closer to him. And that in the process that the impurities be removed. When you come to church, if you come in and you're made to feel comfortable, you might not be in the right church. I'm here to tell you that when you come into the house of God and you come under the influence of the Word of God, there ought to be in our lives some introspection. There ought to be the fact that we don't always feel so good about ourselves because God's still working on us. We haven't arrived yet. We're not where we ought to be. And so we need to let God continue to work on us, and that in light of the Word of God that we try to straighten our lives up and that we are continually trying to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of like an athlete. You know, I played some sports and I know a lot of you have in days gone by. I can't hardly remember them. They're so far back. But, I can remember running. I can remember lifting weights, and back in my day and time, weights was not a big deal, so we didn't do much of that. But we did a lot of running. But you know, you work hard so that you can win the game. Everything is designed to where you can compete, do your best, and win the game. But we ought to be in the best spiritual condition that we can be. Because we're in a battle. It's not a game. It's real. And we're in a battle and we're fighting for our survival spiritually. The devil is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's trying to destroy us, defeat us, cause us to go to hell with him. God help us. The righteous are the regulations by the refiner's hand. He shall set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. In other words, he is on the job 24/7. This suggests to me how watchful he is. Note the refiner is carefully watching the whole process. Notice how that he keeps removing the scum as it comes to the surface. It is removed and the process continues on until the metal is perfectly pure. A wonderful truth. Your heavenly Father knoweth. His eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God's eye is upon them that fear him, upon them that trust in his mercy. And he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And the song goes like this: his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Now, do you find the knowledge that God is watching you disturbing? Or is it comforting? We need not try to pretend with God. You know, it's kind of like you come into a dentist office, and the dentist asks you, said, "Well, how's everything going? Is your teeth all right? Or everything's fine?" Then the doctor says, "Open your mouth." And he looks in there, and then he finds things that need to be corrected. The same thing is true with God. I'm here to tell you that there's not anybody here. I don't want to bust your bubble. But there's not anybody here that has arrived. I'm telling you, you're a long way from getting there. And I'm going to tell you when you get there in just a little bit. But you have not arrived, and the Lord is still working on you. And he not only sees the suffering, but he also shares in it. How watchful he is as he treats and tends the metal. But not only does God see our suffering in the process that's going on, but he shares it. You remember the story about the three Hebrew children? The Bible tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar had them cast into the fiery furnace. And he looked. He said, "Now, fellas, did we not put three in, bound, into the fire?" They said, "Yes." He said, "I'm here to tell you there's four in there. And I'm here to tell you that they're moving around. They're not bound at all. And I'm here to tell you one of them looks like the Son of God." I'm here to tell you that he identifies with us. He suffers with us. Aren't you glad that you have a Savior that cares? He won't allow you to be tempted, tried above what you're able, but will with the temptation and the trial make a way of escape for you. Aren't you glad of that? How careful he is. Normally, there's always a time factor in the process. You mothers remember when those little ones were at home and you had to get the milk, you know, just right. You didn't want it to be too hot, didn't want it to be too cold. You'd touch it, you know. You wanted it to be just right. You bake a cake, company's coming. You don't want it to overcook. You don't want it to undercook. You want it to be just right. Well, the Lord knows exactly what we can bear, and He won't allow us to be tempted or tried above what we're able to stand, but will with a temptation make a way of escape for us. And so He times the process. It is exactly right. Why does He allow it to come? He wants us to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's the consummation of the refiner's hope. When is the process finally over? You say, "Preacher, give me a good word this morning. When is the process over with? When is all of these trials, when are they all going to stop?" Well, I'm going to shatter your bubble a little bit this morning. It's when the silver has been purified. This experience will continue to be mine and yours throughout our whole lifetime. And we may be tempted to think that we have really arrived, only to find out the Lord is still working on us. And as hard as you try, you're never going to be perfect. The ones that are perfect are those that are already gone to heaven. And so if you want to be really perfect, we got to go to heaven, don't we? I'll never forget the story about Dr. F. B. Myers, one of the most godly and saintly ministers who ever preached the Word of God, used to say that he could never understand how any minister would be guilty of the sin of jealousy. Dr. Myers was a man whose ministry people flocked to by the thousands. Then one day he was speaking at a conference in the United States, and he suddenly discovered that each day his crowds was getting smaller. And there was a young man on the other side of town by the name of G. Campbell Morgan. His crowd was getting larger every day. He said, "All of a sudden I felt a tinge of jealousy." You see, God's still working on us. I've never been a mountain climber. I've climbed a little bit, but I didn't climb too high. I think there's more constructive things to do with your life than climb a mountain, you know. But the illustration is that, you know, as you go up the mountain, you think, well, another 100 yards and I'm going to be at the top. Only to get that 100 yards in, you look around, there's another hill up there that you couldn't see. Well, the poem goes like this: does the road wind upward all the way? Yes, to the very end. And then when the Savior has been satisfied, the key word here in Malachi 3 is pleasant unto the Lord. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Again and again, our biggest efforts in life are not for money or some way to get payment. But you know, when you do something for somebody else and you look in their eye and you see it made them happy, you see that gleam in their eye, you think, that's good. That's a blessing. I remember the story of a dad. He had a 2-year-old son, and he was sitting in the easy chair reading the paper. And all of a sudden, his boy came up and he had a glass of water. And he gave it to his dad, and his dad said, "Son, boy, that's cool, refreshing. I want to thank you for bringing me that water." Then a little bit, he got to thinking, where did he get that water? He's 2 years old. Don't get ahead of me. Sure enough, he took his dad in there and showed him where he got the water. That good old commode water. But you know, It brought a sparkle to his eye. But aren't you glad that the Lord cares? And that he's working on us. And he never gives up on us. He just keeps working and working, trying to draw us closer to him. He wants us to stand before him one day on that day of accounting. And he wants to say, well done, and call you by name, thou good and faithful servant. That's what he wants. Are you where God wants you to be? I hope you're not. Well, let me rephrase that. Do you think you're where God wants you to be? I hope you're not or thinking that way. But I do want you to be where God wants you to be. And that's why he's working on you and working on me. Let's bow for prayer.